Good morning. It's the 24th of December. Our middle reading for the day is Zechariah chapter 9. I'm going to read to you once again from Brother John Carter's book. This is a commentary starting from verse 9 of the chapter. I read, while verse 9 hints at the sufferings of Christ, verse 10 reveals the glory to follow. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the nations, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the end of the earth. Chariot, horse, and battle bow are symbols of warfare. God will bring all Israel's long trials and struggles to an end. The pronoun changes from I to he. God's king will speak peace, speak in a voice that will not admit of refusal. His dominion will be universal. For while the terms used by the prophet have a primary significance as the boundaries of the covenanted land, in this context of the nations, we may be justified in giving the terms a general meaning. After declaring that Zion's king shall have universal dominion, the prophet turns to Zion, whose daughter was called upon to rejoice at the advent of the king. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. There was a covenant at Sinai with the natural descendants of Jacob. Of this, God said, my covenant they break. That's a quotation from Jeremiah 31 and verse 32. And therefore God exiled his people, first to Babylon, and then among all countries of the world. This covenant will not restore to their land the nation of Israel. Its terms concerned an occupation of the land as long as they were obedient. But the prophets, and particularly Jeremiah, speak of a new covenant that God will make with the houses of Israel and Judah. This new covenant will have its terms written on their hearts and not on tables of stone. It will confer the forgiveness of sins, no more to be remembered, whereas in the old covenant there was a yearly reminder of their sins. It will be marked by knowledge of God and obedience to him on the part of the people, instead of the lack of knowledge and the disobedience lamented by the prophets. This new covenant has been ratified by the blood of Christ, and by Christ's command has been promulgated among all nations for the obedience of faith. The old covenant was of the letter, which killed. It is called a ministration of death. The new covenant is of the Spirit and gives life. The appropriation of Jeremiah's words by Jesus when he said of the wine at the last Passover, this is the blood of the new covenant shed for many for the remission of sins, leaves no doubt that the new covenant is the Abrahamic made sure by the death of Jesus. And now there is an exhortation from verse 12. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I shall render double unto thee. Thus the word of God apostrophizes those in prison. But not all imprisoned are addressed, but those who are prisoners of the hope. This is the only place, apparently, where the Hebrew word has the definite article. The definiteness thus conferred upon the hope fixes it as being the hope of the gospel, or the hope of Israel, the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. In short, the hope and resurrection of the dead. Thank you for listening to me.